Low Cost Air is proud to sponsor Brian's Beat on the radio and online.
WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
How you doing? Hump day, hump evening. And it's a beautiful day. You know, considering how cold it was on Monday and Tuesday, Sunday, today was fairly mild. Temperature still in the 40s as I look right now in New Bedford, I think 49, Taunton 48. We'll have more temperatures coming up later on in the show. Today being the 10th of December, it's Animal Rights Day. Animals have rights too. Human Rights Day, I wonder if we still have those rights. It's also Nobel Prize Day. Why? Because the first Nobel Prize was awarded on this date in 1901. 1948, the United Nations signed the Human Rights Convention. And as we talk about human rights, there is proof that signing a document doesn't mean that bad things that are happening to human beings won't continue to happen. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. The government's solution to a problem is usually as bad as the problem. The government's solution to a problem is usually as bad as the problem. Milton Friedman with that quote. Well, if you recall on last evening's program, we were talking about downtown New Bedford daytime, different than nighttime. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go into downtown. And I did last evening. I drove many of the streets, William, Pleasant, Purchase, Union, even on the other side by the YMCA, Elm Street, I want to throw that one in there too. And I was looking to see how many or if there were any bad apples, you know, folks causing problems in downtown New Bedford. I did not really see, I saw people gathered, but I didn't really see people acting out. Now it could be, this was during the 7 p.m. hour last night. It was cold. Maybe people, yeah, there were people out, but maybe the real bad ones, the ones that we fear, either they weren't out when I was downtown, or it was too cold and they took the night off. Something along those lines. I looked at a few other things when I was downtown, like activity. Are people going into the stores? Are people shopping? Are people going into the restaurants? And I am sad to report that I didn't see too many people shopping. And maybe that's understandable. Stores like Celia's Boutique, they were already closed at 7:15 in the evening. And I would say the same for other stores, the barbershop on William Street, it was closed. Barbershop on Purchase Street was also closed. Just giving you an idea. But here's the other thing that, to me, was a little troubling. Now, Destination Soup, I expect it to be closed since COVID. They've been closing around 4 o'clock. But there are other places that were open and no problemo. They had a few people inside. But the Chinese restaurant across the street, I could see all the way through and I didn't see anybody walking around. And I don't know if people aren't going there because they don't want to be spending money or it's a holiday season and they're trying to save up for presents or something else. I don't know if it had anything whatsoever to do with some of the disturbances that have been going on in downtown. I know what I saw, or more to the point, what I didn't see. And to express that a little bit more, I left taking Route 6, so Mill Street, which, you know, parallels Kempton, and then it becomes Kempton, and I make my way into Dartmouth as I'm heading back. And guess what? Lots of cars in the parking lot at the old Not Your Average Joe's. So it's not like people aren't going out to eat, or at least they went to that particular place, and they certainly are going to Chick-fil-A. All right, so what is going on in downtown New Bedford? If you've had a chance to read the story at either southcoasttoday.com or in the Standard Times, it's titled, Downtown New Bedford Stores Feel Safe by Day, Wary by Night. Here's why. Seth Chitwood of the Standard Times wrote the piece, and he mentions one shop owner who is packing up her bags and moving her store from downtown New Bedford to Peyton Arum. He also wrote about another shop, a shop that I've been in several times, never to buy, but I've been in there several times. It's Celia's Boutique. And I went by Celia's Boutique today because last night they were closed. And I'm glad to tell you that online, I have at least one of the owners of Celia's Boutique, and that's Tanya Owls. I'm not sure if Celia is joining us also. Ladies or lady, good evening. Welcome to Brian's Beat.
Good evening, Brian. This is Tanya Owls. And yes, you do have both of us on. My mom is right here, Celia Brito. Thank you for having us.
No problem at all. Thank you for taking the time to join me tonight. So I would like you to just start us off. You've been working, first of all, if you've been in business for 23 years, you must have started, you, Tanya, no offense, Mom, you must have started when you were 14 years old, because you don't look like somebody who could be in business for 23 years.
Thank you.
It was actually 10.
Yeah, I give the credit to my mom, right?
There you go.
We started in 2003 in downtown New Bedford. We actually started on Purchase Street. And then we moved up to William Street in, 2011?
2010.
And so we've been in downtown New Bedford for 20-plus years, and we love it. We love downtown New Bedford. We love being here. We, enjoy everything about downtown New Bedford.
So you've been there for 20 years, yet you have seen things change over the past couple of years. When did things, in your view, start to get rough, unlike the old days when you might see me over at the bus station in a cab?
So this is Celia, Brian. And just to clarify, Brian, our business hours, we weren't open yesterday when you drove by 7:15 because our hours of business, we open at 11 a.m. and we close at 5 p.m. unless we're having a special occasion in the shop, then we're open later, and also during every second Thursday of the month, which is AHA, we do open late on those days.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to get into that because in reading the story and in our brief conversation today, you did mention that you were thinking about changing your shop hours, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But why would you consider changing your shop hours after all these years?
A few things. When it's dark during winter hours, we have parking is a bit of an issue with us. So, sometimes we park far away from our place of business. So with a little bit of daylight hours, Brian, so we've decided to, at the beginning of this year, we're going to have a new hours, which we haven't announced yet, but from 11 to 4.
And we're not even sure about that yet, so
okay.
We haven't,
right.
Solidified that as of yet.
It's not concrete, yeah.
and you would be changing your hours to four, you know, closing at 4 o'clock because?
Well, because walking over to our cars, not that anything has ever happened to us, Brian. We've been here, like we said, over 20 years, and we have never had an incident. So, when we talk about, you're driving around and other people, the folks out there, some of them are walking to go to restaurants or a bar, and sometimes people look a little more intimidating than what they are.
Sometimes they look more intimidating than what they are.
Walking around.
You want to try to explain that?
Sure. There's talk about all the activities downtown and people around the bus station. That's what I mean. They may look a little more intimidating if you're not used to the downtown area. And so we're not changing our hours necessarily because we fear anything. We just like to get home earlier.
Okay, so you get home earlier. Are you going to, let's say you're closing at 4 o'clock. I think that's the time that I heard. Are you always going to close at 4 o'clock, even in the spring and summertime and early fall?
No, because we're daylight hours. It doesn't get dark until 9, and more people are out shopping when it's daylight. So, people, that's the reason, Brian.
Okay, I get part of it, but if, don't you think more people would be out shopping even if it was dark? They used to come out during the dark.
But over the years, historically, we're finding out, we're just seeing that more and more people are not out as late as they used to. At least they're not out shopping. I mean, we have customers, and if we have customers at 5, Brian, of course we're going to stay open. If they're here at 4:15, we're not going to throw anybody out the door. We're going to keep the hours.
Sure, I get it. We're talking to Celia Brito and Tanya Owls. They are the owners of Celia's Boutique at the corner of William and Pleasant Street in downtown New Bedford. I was reading in the Standard Times story, I believe it was you, Tanya, there was a time when you were in the store and you had somebody come into the store that looked a little shaky?
Yep, I did explain that to Seth. And, we've been here for over 20 years, and that was the first time that an incident like that happened. And I, took care of it, and he left the shop, and that was that. And I went on with my day, and that was that was the first time, and since then, nothing else has happened.
According to the story in the Standard Times, whomever it was that walked in, he didn't say anything. You tried to ask him to leave, and when he finally walked out, he looked at you, crossed his hand, mm-hmm. hit his wrist together, and then walked away.
Correct, yep.
What's that about?
I don't know. I don't know what that meant. And, I greeted him like, we greet every customer that comes in here. Every customer that comes in here, we greet the same way. And who knows, he could have been having a day mm-hmm. just like anybody else. And maybe he just wasn't up to talking that day, or he was just, having a day and he left without a problem. And
did you call the authorities?
I did not call the authorities. I was just chatting with my cousin about it. And she's actually friends with one of the community police officers who is a friend of ours here. And he came over, Tyler, who is a great guy, and just to check on me. And that was it.
So, again, I tried to get Tyler Vieira, who is the downtown safety officer. I tried to get him to come on to the program today. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it. But what did he do in response to what happened to you?
I just explained what happened, and he was great. And, he you know, I explained to him. He wanted a description, and he, you know, went out and did what he does. Yeah, I was busy with customers, and so I had to go, you know, go on with my day. But again, he's awesome, and like I said, that was that.
We're talking to the owners of Celia's Boutique in downtown New Bedford. So have you, either of you two, talked to any of the other shop owners to find out what they may or may not be experiencing with, you know, we can call them riffraff, we can call them unhoused folk, whatever the case may be, there has been an uptick in at least the perception that something bad is going on in downtown New Bedford over the past year or two?
I mean, we haven't. We have not, like we said, I mean, downtown, and this is in every city, there are going to be
challenges.
There are going to be challenges. There are going to be up and, you know, ups. There are going to be downs.
And we've certainly seen the ups and downs here.
Yeah, we have. But, I mean, downtown New Bedford is, it's definitely a beautiful place to come, to shop, to eat. You want to shop local. You want to support your local businesses. If, you know, your listeners, if they have not visited downtown, we absolutely encourage you to visit downtown New Bedford, to shop here at Celia's, to shop at the local shops downtown, to visit the restaurants, eat, drink. We have Holiday Stroll this coming Saturday, the 13th. It is a beautiful downtown. And, yeah, there are going to be good and bad to every downtown in cities and towns.
I agree with that, but people go to downtown Boston. They go to downtown Providence. They go to downtown Worcester and downtown Springfield. I know those are bigger cities than New Bedford. But what I'm getting at is, for some reason, as I say, it could be the perception or the reality, because I don't have new crime numbers or any kind of numbers to really pose to you this compared to last year or this month compared to 2 years ago. But for whatever reason, people, you know, it's almost like a ghost town.
I don't know.
No, I disagree with that.
Brian, you know, again, people do come out and shop. We're open every day, and we have people in here every day. We certainly would not be in business all these years if our store was empty, if people weren't coming out to shop. We have a great loyal base customers. They come in here, so you know, if you come in one day, you came in today, and at that moment we didn't have anyone in here, but earlier during the day we had lots of people. We had families who came in here, and we mentioned that to you, so people do come out. None of the shops are going to stay open if we don't have people coming in.
I get it, but there, and more to the point, I'm sure people are there during the daytime. There are all kinds of businesses, the city hall, the courts, you know, there are people there. So there are people to support the businesses during the daytime, but it's when it gets dark where you don't see too much support.
Well, we beg to differ. We're here, and go ahead, Tanya.
No, I was just going to say, we have, I mean, for us, and I can only speak for us, we have, we do a lot of other things. We don't, for example, we have women who set up girls' nights, and so they book parties with us, and those are all done in the evening, and those are private parties that they come in, and we do a whole thing, and then we have customers from as far as Connecticut that come in and they shop with us. So, I mean, our clientele goes...
The range is
from, you know, from the New Bedford area and the surrounding areas. And so it can, you know, it's not just the daytime, but it does go into the evening, and it's not just the courts or the city, you know, right. City Hall, and those are, yes, those are our customers as well.
So is there, in your opinion, is there reason for people to fear coming into downtown, or they should not fear coming into downtown?
Absolutely, they should not fear coming into downtown. It's like going into any, like you said, mentioned earlier, Boston, New York, those are big cities. And so the people are there going to different places. You shouldn't fear coming downtown.
But you should always be aware of your surroundings.
Absolutely, anywhere you go.
I think that's very true. Ladies, how would you like to wrap this up?
I would like to say thank you for having us, Brian. Hopefully you and your listeners will come on down and shop in downtown New Bedford and eat and drink and support small.
Yeah, and don't fear. I mean, come on out and you'll see
that. And happy holidays.
Yep.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you both for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Celia Brito, her daughter, Tanya Owls, owners of Celia's Boutique in downtown New Bedford. Glad to have them on the program today. All right, you had a chance to hear them. What are your thoughts? 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
You know, you were talking about New York City, but there's a visible police presence. When you go to New York, there's police everywhere. They're walking the beat. So if someone's going to do something, they're going to think twice about stealing or whatever. In New Bedford, we don't have that. I wanted to ask the two women if they had a police presence where the police were walking the beat, where people can see the police, or have private security out there. So when people go to the businesses, especially hers, the boutique, they would feel an extra sense of safety, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't call earlier to ask them that question.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance, Brian. I just tuned in a little late.
Fair enough. I did ask them about that when I was at the store earlier today. And yeah, I don't think it's much of a thought that they've given. For instance, in our conversation, just the one that just ended, they really haven't spent any time talking to any of the other shop owners about some of the things that are going on downtown, that some of the things that are keeping people from wanting to come downtown. People,
you know what,
that are afraid to hire workers or workers that don't want to be working down there at night because there's the fear factor of whether it's unhoused people or people that are shooting up drugs, whatever that case may be.
Well, the other thing too, Brian, is all the shootings too in the city. You know, drive-by shootings. So even if it's not happening downtown, you still got that stigma, you know, of the crime in the city. But if the mayor wants to do something about our city and the downtown, it's not just the downtown, the whole city in general, and especially those businesses, you got to have a visible police presence. I know we're not New York City, but you need cops walking out on the beat. They're walking up and down those streets where the business is at. So customers and the business owners feel safer because, let's face it, they also pay a lot of taxes too.
Yes, they do.
So
in fact, I would contend that for what they're paying in taxes, they're not really getting a return on that investment.
No, they're not, especially the meters. You know, you go in there and then the customer's afraid. You come back out, you're going to get a ticket on your car, you know, if the meter runs out. You know, because sometimes you're in one of their shops.
I do know. Look, I thought the same thing today. Believe me, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing today. Is this meter going to run out before I'm done talking to Tanya and Celia?
Absolutely. You know, so the mayor comes in on softball Wednesday, and, you know, it's a lot of word salad. I mean, I want a mayor that's going to look out for the interests of us and our businesses, too. I haven't heard one thing about him just telling us what he's going to do about the police, more of a police presence, walking the beat, and cracking down on these gangs and the shootings. He comes on, and it's picking his, you know, his top 100 list of music. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what you're going to do for us, because we're paying a lot of taxes. And it's like you're saying, we're not getting many things that we're paying for in taxes. We're probably one of the highest in Bristol County.
I would think so. Maybe Fall River or might be
a second. Fall River's cheaper taxes than us.
Yeah, but I mean amount of people that are paying in. The business community in Fall River is much larger than the business community.
Well, the taxes are cheaper too, Brian. The taxes are cheaper. That's why they're going over there.
Because they have more because they have more businesses, they can keep that tax rate down. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but it also, if you got your tax rate down on your commercial, that lures them to come in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah. All right, man.
So
go ahead.
All right, quickly, Brian, quickly. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500. One of the things that we didn't talk about tonight with Celia and Tanya was the fact that that police substation, right, you know, basically two blocks down from where their store is, has been closed now for a couple of years, maybe a little bit longer. And there was nobody in that room. There were three of us, Celia, Tanya, Brian. None of us believe that that substation is going to be opening up anytime soon. There is now, I guess, a substation at the Serta bus. But I guess that's a sub-sub of a station. Be that as it may, if there is a substation in there, and I'm going to take them at face value, it has to make you wonder because, again, perception or reality, there seem to be more complaints now about urination, drug use, people just flopping down, sleeping anywhere in downtown New Bedford. All right, let's go back to your calls. Hello.
Good point about that substation. Now, I live downtown, and they promised us that after that substation was gone, they would have car patrols regularly downtown on those streets you mentioned to be a presence. Now, I live down here, and I go out at night frequently to the downtown library, and I don't see such action on the street.
I was going to ask you, so what would be regular?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And part of deceiving the public is not really to inform them what kind of patrol regimen would be in place and what to expect and rely upon. So we don't always get enough information. Now, on this substation, you know, I live across from the bus terminal, and I live in a highly secure building with cameras to protect us, and I don't see any activity. I cross through the middle of the bus terminal all the time, shortcutting, etc. I don't see any activity of any policemen at a substation there at all. I see sort of security people with, you know, bright green, you know, garb over them.
Yeah, that fluorescent green that makes you say I'm blind.
See any cops.
Yeah.
Pardon?
No, that fluorescent green that makes me say I'm blind.
Yeah. Now, I think the mayor, ironically, is part of the false narrative here. The mayor does not like lower-class people hanging around on the corner of the post office. He's against homeless people being downtown and even having any self-cleaning porta-johns for anybody, the tourists either, downtown. And he created a narrative that these people hanging around in the daytime are problematic. But I walk by them all the time. Most of them are black people. I'm white. They're very friendly towards me. There could be a dozen of them at a time. I've walked by them for years and years, and I felt that the mayor is kind of a middle-class snob. Call him bourgeois, but, you know, there's a bit of semi-class warfare going on on the impoverished people in this city because he's into big gentrification of people with bucks to make this, you know, a superior city on a hill. His plan seemed to be caving in with windmills, etc. And he's part of the bad rap that downtown has gotten because those people have a right to mill about.
Yeah, I think they have a right to mill about, but there comes a time when their rights to mill about do infringe on the business owners, you know.
Well, taking a leak on the
I will, taking a leak on a door. Harassing.
Is that,
can
is
I finish?
That the
can I finish?
Because he won't
I don't think it's the mayor's fault.
Of course it is. There used to be a public John in City Hall, etc. It had a guardian in there to make sure there was no hanky panky. So Boston last summer had 9,000 self-cleaning porta johns for tourists going into the city. You mean to say we can't have? You know,
no, I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is, it's not the mayor's fault that people are urinating on somebody else's door. When they urinate on somebody else's door, they could go into an alleyway and urinate. But when you're urinating on a door and a window, that is their fault.
Restaurants are closed.
When they urinate on a door, it is their fault. If they were to do it in an alley because they really had to go, that's an entirely different ballgame.
They probably are doing it in an alley.
Oh, I'm sure they're doing it. They're doing it on doors, too. That's part of the problem.
Well, if there were porta-johns available and there are self-cleaning ones so they don't need to be cared for, this problem would be erased. But it would attract, as Mayor says, it would be a magnet for more homeless people to come here, and we don't want that.
I think there's some merit to that statement that if you put them there, you would attract more people. However, I think that it's necessary to have some at a couple of locations.
There should be at least one through the three major areas of the city. You know, one end to the other and in the middle. I mean, it's ridiculously and inhumane. It shows cruel neglect of the homeless people, of which there's probably 200. Then they tear down their tents so they can't even set up a campsite that has some humanity to it. It is ridiculously a cruel neglect that's unforgivable.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. Are you ready to see tents erected in downtown or maybe over by the old building 19? I don't think there are too many people that are down with that program. I do believe, and I think this is where the private sector could really come in and try something. I'm going to give my plan away for the sake of it. You go out and you buy or lease a big enough lot and you rent it to homeless people for $1, $10, whatever a night and let them camp there. That money covers your insurance and the lease of the property. That way there's a place for people to stay. You know, obviously you have to monitor behavior, so you might need to also pay a security detail to monitor that part of it. But the business owner makes money. The property is leased. The people that are homeless that need a place to stay, whether they put a tent up there, they put a motorhome or whatever the case may be, they can put it up there and have a place to stay. 508-996-0500. Brian's Beat on WBSM.
It will be because we organized and forced a government to speak to our needs.
This is WBSM.
Traveling for business or pleasure? Instead of booking online, first call Low Cost Air. Let a real person compare prices and schedules. With Low Cost Air, booking is your option, which means there's no obligation to purchase anything at all. Call Low Cost Air to compare. 800-221-7234. 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air is proud to sponsor Brian's Beat on the radio and online.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Leader would want, you want to own that responsibility. So I said, I'm going to be the one to make the call after getting all the information and make sure it's the right strike. That was September 2nd. I watched that first strike lock. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made the, which he had the complete authority to do, and by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat, and eliminated the threat. It was the right call. We have his back, and the American people are safer. I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire or smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand.
The fog of war. It's almost like the edge of night. 508-996-0500. I did try to get New Bedford police. I sent out an email to Jonathan Darling and Holly Huntoon. And the reply from Holly, who does media relations work for the police department: thank you for reaching out. Unfortunately, neither Chief Thody nor Tyler Vieira is available for an interview. Then, as she goes on to write, if you revisit this topic in the future, please feel free to reach out and I can check their availability. Thank you, Holly Huntoon. I'm not sure if they were really too busy. I said you can join by phone. You know, we have other people who are working that take a quick 5-10 minute break, and they'll come on the show to give us an update or, you know, to talk to us. I can't speak for the chief, and even if he's not available tonight, or Officer Vieira, I gave tonight or tomorrow evening, but apparently neither is available. What are you going to do? But I ask the question still. How is downtown New Bedford going to be revived? I will tell you, a couple of restaurant owners have done their damnedest. They're putting their money into making sure the restaurant community is going fairly well. I am a sworn believer that if you have too many restaurants, a few of them aren't going to make it. But that's business. But, you know, you've got the new National Mexican Restaurant. Just one of many, but as I drove by it last night, I didn't see too many people. Now, I can also say, you're talking about a Tuesday night, how many folks are really going out to eat? But I measure that by saying it's a Tuesday night during the busiest shopping time of the year, from Black Friday through the 27th of December. You know, every day, every night, these stores are pretty much hopping. And to give you an idea, I mentioned about the restaurant scene downtown last night in New Bedford, downtown New Bedford. It was pretty slow, okay? That's what it was. It was slow. But as I mentioned, as you get up to Joe's Original, I guess that's what it's called now. You get up to that place, didn't seem slow at all. Didn't seem slow over at Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A is not inexpensive. It was very slow at the place that took over for Buster's. In fact, there were a couple of police cars doing some active duty at that particular time. Drove over by Kohl's. The parking lot wasn't full, but there were quite a few cars at Kohl's. The front side of the mall, the Route 6 facing side of the mall, fairly active last evening. So it's not like people aren't out shopping. And I'm not trying to make it so people don't go to downtown New Bedford to do their shopping. But the question is, if people aren't going, whether it's the Tuesday, 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, 2 weeks, I guess, before Christmas, what are they going to be down there? I drove by downtown this afternoon when I went to Celia's, and I looked at a couple of other places. I have seen a more active downtown New Bedford than I saw today, daytime, Wednesday, daytime. 2 weeks from today is Christmas Eve. I don't know, is there cause for concern? Is there cause for concern? I don't know. It's, you know, it's getting down to crunch time. And I do understand there are people that did their shopping online. I don't know how many people are shopping online at some of these stores in downtown New Bedford. Yeah, you can get a gift certificate. Probably can buy that online. I just get that feeling, and I'm not sure if it's because of the excessive deterrent of people that are down there, or if it's a money thing and people just ain't spending. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be plaguing the Dartmouth Mall. Your thoughts. How do you go about making it better? What's the Band-Aid? Is there a possibility for a Band-Aid? I think that the business owners, if they're not meeting, they probably should get together, because there is the one place that I mentioned yesterday, April Evans Boutique. And I did reach out to April Moses. I could not get a hold of her again today. But she is moving her storefront next month, January, out of downtown New Bedford and into Peyton Arum. So I guess she is looking for greener pastures. Maybe she finds it there. I don't know. I did mention yesterday some of her comments that she gave to the Standard Times. I've been getting some feedback from my clients that they just don't feel safe down here. Again, I don't know how long April Moses has been in downtown New Bedford. We did hear from Celia. We did hear from Tanya. They have both been down there for 23 years. I believe both are, at least Tanya is a native of NB. So they know the area. They feel safe in the area. And they're keeping their business in the area. Yet, they find that they need to adjust their hours. And while I believe, you know, they want to get home early and stuff like that, part of me also believes, look what happened not too long ago when somebody came into the store. It visibly shook up Tanya Elves. Can't blame her.
Children should be educated and instructed in the principles of freedom.
WBSM.
Anthony Martinetti lives in Boston. Most days, Anthony takes his time going home. But today is Wednesday. Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day.
Traveling for business or pleasure? Instead of booking online, first call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Let a real person compare prices and schedules before AI takes over. With Low Cost Air, booking is your option, which means there's no obligation to purchase anything at all. Call Low Cost Air to compare. 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Didn't know about second attack having to do with two people, and I guess Pete would have to speak to it.
Time for me to pack up my bags and get out. We'll be back again 6 o'clock tomorrow. My thanks to Celia Brito, Tanya Owls for joining us on the program. 48 in Taunton, 48 in Somerset, 48.